Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to try and do this. This is JT. Michael's setting up shop over in the other studio over at his place, trying to get some things working. We're going to try and get through this. I apologize. Hopefully everybody can hear me. So just somebody go yay. So basically, wonderful. Thank you, Dennis. So basically what's going on is I've had some issues with my computers over the past week. And I have been scrambling since 7 to make sure these computers are working like they were over the week, and they aren't. So I have Michael in the other place in his studio, getting things together, patching things up. I think I can pop him in an audio, but I think I figured out what my noise issue was earlier, so it kind of threw me off. But we can give it a shot if Michael wants to maybe say something. No, you've got your microphone. Oh, sorry. Away from you. Cool.
I hear it right now.
Oh, I heard you in my ear.
Can you hear? Okay, so that means if the other people can hear me. That means I can't hear everybody else, though, which is okay. So everybody in the chat room, let me know, can you hear me at all? Okay.
Oh, you heard Michael. Perfect. Got it. Wonderful.
So if you can hear me, let's just start on that. Let's start with this basic premise here. Okay. So everybody, thank you so much for being patient with us. For some reason, we've been kind of set in a situation where we've had some technical issues. I am working on it over here, figuring out how we can get there. And because of course, just like anything, it's a different issue every time. So this is actually not the issue we had last week, but it was caused because of the way we had to fix it, and we thought it was fine. So at any rate, we've got some contingencies we're working on, but that all aside, we're still going to do the show. We're still doing the show tonight. We're not going to do the show. That might mean that I have to listen to the poetry on the delayed broadcast like everybody else, which means I'm not able to respond in real time. So JT, you might need to kind of do some things like that. Okay?
That's fine. I can handle that.
But I am around. And I'm excited. I'm excited to get going on this. We're also going to unveil the identity of this month's Poet of the Month. And the clues have been up on World Poetry Open Mic. If anybody has any last guesses, feel free to send them through the email, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, you can send them to me there. And then we'll be sharing some great poetry. I think this is a thing that I've been looking forward to. I really missed it last week. And I want to say thank you once again to everybody last week who stuck with us. There's some things we just couldn't fix in the time. And I think, JT, I don't know, we may have to figure out a new computer in there, huh?
Yep.
I think it's a compatibility issue. There's something going on, right? But either way, we'll get it worked out. So since we're here, JT, besides this evening, and I know you have been working like a madman, and I got to tell you, we all appreciate it. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
How are you besides this stuff? If you could just let this stuff drift away, how's the week been?
Outside of this stuff, I've been fine. The week's been good, steady.
We had a great meeting on Wednesday.
We did have a meeting
on
Wednesday.
Our old
meeting
day.
Great. Yes. Outside of school, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have to go to school this week.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. And you know, I know I am, and I know your wife is, and I'm sure all the people here on the show are really proud of you for accomplishing what you have accomplished. And it's great to be getting back into this. I think every time there's a technical issue like we experienced last week or this week, it allows us to get more and more in kind of a robust scenario, right? And if you notice, if you actually look back, all little tech things we had problems with, we ended up fixing. So there's all these other things that can go wrong. Now we're only discovering new things that can go wrong.
Yes, yes, we are.
Right, you know. Woo! So let's not forget the time that you streamed an entire show off the data on your cell phone. So I mean,
wife loved me for that one.
So at any rate, let's do this. We're going to get to the rules right now. We're going to start getting into the call segment. So here we go. Here are the rules for the show. These are ones that have been in place for a while. And there's actually another one that we added last week that's still not on the slide. JT, I'm sorry about that, my friend.
It's okay.
But it makes sense. So rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on the show. We never will do that on this show. This is not a forum for that. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We try to make this a friendly, loving place for you know, younger people, for families and everything like that. You know, we just want to make sure that this is a place where they can come and feel encouraged. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So if it is a little over the top, but it's artistic and it's really contributing something, we may not jump in, but we do definitely reserve the right to do so. Rule number three, and this is the new one we're throwing in. This is an old rule. It's from the very, very beginning of the show. And just because we ran into some issues with it over a couple weeks and over the last few years, we should have had it in for a long time. No more promotion on the show. We don't. I mean, if you have an event you're doing, cool. You're like, hey, I'm playing at this event. That's awesome. That's not the same thing. But when we're just doing straight promotion, it just kind of starts taking the joy out of things. And honestly, we study this stuff. People just tune out and they don't keep paying attention. So if you have something you want to do you think is really valuable to the group, great. Let us know. Or you can post in the World Poetry Open Mic friends thing, as long as it's, you know, just straight up. And it's take it as it is, you know. We'll just try to keep promo out of the thing. Rule number four, please have your work ready when we come on the phone. I'm doing this from memory right now. Please have your work ready when we come on the phone. Just it's a respect thing for the rest of the post listening. Of course, we've kept you waiting a long time as we're getting our things ready to go. So, you know, we'll make the best of our time. Rule number five is please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. I don't mean the number two, just 3 to 5 minutes. But once again, that's just a respectful thing. It's a respectful time to really look at. And then the last rule, rule number six, JT and I, as you can imagine, are doing lots and lots of crazy things to keep this show on the air. JT literally is furiously pedaling on a hamster wheel to power the whole computer system right now. So if you have things that you would like to suggest, you would like to give a comment on the show, something you think would make it better, we love that stuff. However, if you say it on the air, you put it in the chat room, we may miss it. So what we really, really would like you to do is if you have a comment, you have a suggestion, email it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just put it in the contact form. And we'll talk about it during one of our meetings. And we've implemented tons of those things over the years. In fact, JT, was a chat room one of the suggestions once?
Yes, it was. Yeah, they wanted a chat room a while ago. Yeah.
Right. The whole reason we even went and had a chat room is because of a suggestion. I mean, there's so many big things that change because of that. So we love those, and we really welcome them, even if it's a criticism, you know, as long as it's not like one of those death threats I got in 2014.
Which was so odd.
That was a year, 5 death threats because of a poetry show, JT.
That's amazing.
From different people.
Yeah.
From different people.
It's amazing.
And not a single one of them succeeded.
That's right. You're still here.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Now, JT, what do we do about the poet of the month unveiling? Do we do it? I don't have any of that stuff.
We do it before the call segment. Or we can do it right at the beginning of the call segment. You know, when we
have
the call.
Let's do it now, so in case someone wants to call in and try to read something, let's do it.
You got it.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. So let's go back to it. So every month, in case you're not familiar, we do clues for several weeks, do 3 clues a week to as to the identity of a mysterious poet of that month. And then on the second to last Friday, we announce who it is. So here are the clues from the first week, and then I'll do the clues from the second week. First week, a knight of the empire, a title renounced, a friendly astrophysics luncheon, Yeats paved the way. Week 2. Words drew the Nobel Prize, the anthem of the nation twice under the pen, nobility transmuted to education, gold lost. Those are our clues. And the identity of our May 2020 Poet of the Month is Tagore. Tagore is the youngest son of a leader of the Brahmo Sanji, which is a new religious sect in 19th century Bengal. He attempted a revival of the monastic bliss of Hinduism and laid down in the Upanishads. He was educated at home. Then he was sent to England for formal schooling. He just keeps going on and on and on, but he had a very, very intense success as a poet. He met with Albert Einstein. He won the Nobel Prize. He wrote multiple national anthems from India or for India. He's an incredible, incredible poet. And I'm sure many people here are familiar with him. I'll be posting this, a link to detailed good biographical stuff, because I did a horrible job just there. But I really encourage, if you don't know who Tagore is, really dig in and read his work. He's fantastic. And he's definitely worth it. He's kind of someone I kind of connect almost with Rumi a bit. As far as the quality of his work. So, Tagore is our May 2020 Poet of the Month. All right, everybody. So, we're getting ready to head into our first segment. We need 5 unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, everybody. And we are back here in time for the first segment. We've got some great callers lined up. But before we get to that, I'm going to read a submission. And the submission was written by James Rothline. He sent this. It's a short piece, which is his style, and it's called Wayward Longing. Here we go. Wayward longing, climbing branches of china trees, the weight of wicked wanting brings broken limbs and a falling. For you, for you, for you. The heart's insanity compelling a constant rising to further devastation. And that was Wayward Longing by James Rothline out of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much. And if you're listening to the show and you want to submit something like James did, you can do so by going to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or worldpoetryopenmic.net and putting it in the contact form. Just indicate that it's a poem to be read on the show. All right. So, before we head in to these calls here, I feel like I'm going to make this really clear, okay, JT? You tell me if I got something wrong.
Okay.
I'm not able to hear the sound as it comes into the studio. I can listen on the broadcast just like everybody else listening to the show, but there's a few seconds difference, sometimes more than a few, which means I can't respond in real time. So what we're going to do is I'm on a link up here with JT, but I can't hear your voices. So I'll be listening here on the broadcast, but when JT motions for me, I'll come in and announce the next poet. But JT will be the one hearing it in real time and reacting to it in real time. Does that sound about right?
Sounds right.
All right. JT, thank you for doing this, brother. I know that you're the guy who loves to hit the buttons more and everything, and I appreciate you stepping up for it. So there's also been some more issues with Skype, but we're able to make it work. We just may ask you to call back in for us, okay? So you're still in the order you were picked up in, so don't worry about that. So we're getting ready to go to our first caller. Is that right?
And I do actually – I already answered him, so he is here. You ready?
Fantastic. So we're going to go right now to George in Michigan.
Hey, George.
Hello. Hello. I'm here. Can
I got you
hear me?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. Great. Good. So things are good, and it's Friday night. A little light in the tunnel of our struggle these days.
Yes. Yeah, you guys are you guys coming out a little bit?
Yeah, we're sort of coming out of it in Michigan. We're in a slightly downward slope.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And so we're you know, getting used to it actually, and actually surviving. At least I'm surviving quite well, I think. So my first piece is something related to the COVID thing. It's called Tulips in the Rain. He stared out the window at the few passersby, then glanced back at the letter in his hands. There was never a chance to say goodbye to her. This plague was so heartless, it robbed him of rationale. It ripped away the flowers and songs and hugs. Its relentless wiping away of lives unanswered. Just near his window, a robin poked about. By the fence, there were tulips in the rain. They needed no masks or gloves, at least yet. End of piece.
I like that piece, George. That was great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And just plug it in.
Yeah, it was good. That was really good.
You know, other than the fact that the democracy is crumbling and that we're all dying, we're doing pretty good.
We might be okay. I mean,
I think we'll survive.
Yeah, I think we'll survive.
But it's going to be interesting.
Yes.
We're going to have to work, though. We got work. We got work to do. But anyway,
absolutely.
I'm all for glad. Last few weeks, I haven't been able to get in for one reason or another. I've been in and out on the edges of it and hadn't read anything. So it is fun to get back to it. And I will step over and let number two, I think it's Dennis,
yes,
bring
it is.
His laughter.
All right. Well, thank you, George. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. All right, and that was George from Michigan calling in.
He's the number one caller, right? He's the number one caller on our show.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, so it's kind of weird because, JT, I'm listening through headphones to, like, 20 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But I'm also listening with, you know, off one of my ears to hear this. So it's kind of like one ear is the past, one ear is you know, now. I'm just wondering how I'm going to start experiencing the future and just be – in a timeless state. I could be like Gandalf and drift out of all time.
That would be incredible for you.
Wouldn't it be? I would be the first. Well, technically, we're all this way, according to Einstein anyway.
Right.
But technically, it would be interesting to broadcast from three different parts of time, the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah.
And if I was in the future, I know for a fact that our next caller would be amazing. And I'm sure she will be. So let's bring up. Now, does she have to call in?
Oh, you know what? I mistyped. It's not Denise. It's Dennis. I just mistyped. It's been a rough day, man.
I was about to announce Denise from Michigan. I was like, really?
No. Definitely not Denise.
You also spelled Zach like he's an Eastern European man.
Yeah, I know. I know. I got to correct some spelling out here.
Well, you were doing it fast. You were doing it fast. I understand. All right. Let's now go to not Denise, but Dennis in Michigan.
Hey, Dennis.
Hello, it's me, Denise.
Denise, wonderful to hear from you, Denise. Thank you.
I thought I was the uncle, but now I'm Denise.
Yes. Oh, so sorry.
No problem. I'm just glad to be here on Friday night. It's all good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Dennis.
All right.
So what do you got for us?
All right. A friend of mine and a friend of the show asked me to read a poem of his because he cannot get through at different times. So I'm going to read a poem by Rajkumar Mukherjee. He lives in Kolkata, India. And he's a friend of the show and has called in a number of times. And sometimes he reads his own stuff. Sometimes I read his stuff. But he left this poem for me to read, and the title is Namaste Haibun. And Haibun is a type of poetry. So this is the poem. Coronavirus, touch me or touch me not. Quarantined. It takes hardly one fortnight to spread and settle and scatter from one body to another. You try to unearth the reasons and the sources from animal body to another, human body to humans. But before you discover reasons, diagnose antibody to prepare injections, vaccines for survival, it is already a pan-epidemic. Political pressures amongst peers divert your attention, amongst often resulting in avoidable delays. I spread a mebiotic, geometric progression. Love me or love me not. Political leaders change greetings. Language from shaking hands and a kiss on the cheeks to a more conventional folding hands. No must stay. End of poem. A poem by our friend Raj Kumar from Kolkata, India.
Thank you very much, Dennis. That was a great piece. Thank you for reading that from Raj. Yeah.
I'm glad he...
I didn't get to hear the entire thing, but from Raj, that was a really, really, you know, timely, obviously, piece inspired by the things we're going through now, but also great read, Dennis. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he was writing in the moment, and on the other side of the world, he's seeing what we're seeing. It's universal. It's not just in little pockets. It's all over the world, and we are all reacting to it. And we are survivors. We are going to beat this. And it's just a reminder that we aren't alone. We're all together in this, and we will survive. So I thank Raj Kumar for allowing me to read that poem, and I'm going to step away from the mic and let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
All right. That was Dennis calling from Michigan, the number two spot here in the first segment. And I, you know, here, I agree with him. We're going to make it through this stuff. We will. This, as I saw someone say on social media earlier, which it is significant. It is a big deal. But it's the way they said it, and I liked, was this isn't the big one, everybody.
Right.
You know, and this is a chance for us to kind of hopefully get some things together. All right. Now, is our next caller need to call in?
I just hit the button.
I see you right there.
Perfect.
I see you right there. We're getting our system down here. We're getting our system down. We'll be okay. This is a really strange way to do the show, my friend.
Yes, it is.
and I even hearing myself, I sound really weird. I sound like I'm on a telephone right now.
Unfortunately, yes, you do.
You know what? For right now, if we can even do the show, I'm excited. I'm happy. We're just going to keep moving with this. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
There he is. Oh, there it is.
Okay. Should we just take him live?
Yep, we're taking him live.
All right, here we go. We're going for the number three spot. Now we're heading to Alabama. We're going to visit with Stan. Stan, I cannot hear you, but hello. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
We are very happy to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back. Wow. Nice cover by Dennis.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Mm. How you been?
I've been great. I'm getting geared up for Memorial Day.
Oh, good. Planning for the barbecue?
Oh, of course. The ribs are ready. The chicken is about ready. The hot dogs are on standby. We're ready.
All right, I'm coming. So...
Hey, we got the plate. Come
on. All right. Well, Stan, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I decided I'm going to do a piece here that's not actually going to be published in Poetry of Spring's Embrace until the 25th, but I'm going to share it anyway. Because, Michael, it actually came from you guys. One of the poets of the month was Su Shi. And the poem I chose was, "To what can our life on earth be likened to? To a flock of geese alighting on the snow, sometimes leaving a trace of their passage." And I thought I'd go ahead and use that as a prompt for the Poetry of Spring's Embrace. And the poem I wrote from that is Faded Photos, Yellowed Pages. Not all events clearly marked were our lives touched by another. Some as dramatic as war or plague, rocking reality's very foundation. Some as subtle as a budding flower or gentle brevity of words. Each has its cause and effect. Like ripples across the surface of time, even as they fade, still bringing change. A faded photo, black and white, of a place where souls were shared, still as memory holds the colors of emotion and the texture of those sharing it. True with words as well, and music, all arts, even if yellowed pages or canvas, hold the imagination and heart's attention, memories rebirthed and shared. Even in passage of time inexorable, images, melodies, and words still touch the soul undiminished in their journey. In peace.
That was a great piece, Stan.
Oh, Michael, thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
It's amazing. One inspiration leads to another. You inspired me to look up Su Shi and come up with that particular poem. His Mondo, actually. And then it led to this.
It's good. It's really good. I like it.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, Stan. Oh, okay. Well, Stan, will we hear you from you in the return?
I'm going to endeavor to be there.
Wonderful. Look forward to it.
That'll be my pleasure, sir.
All right.
On to the next.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and that was Stan calling from Alabama, doing work that was inspired by Su Shi, I was actually such a cool piece. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to stomp over anybody talking. But I was able to listen to the whole piece. Fantastic work, Stan. Thank you for that. That is why we do the things we're doing. And if you love sushi, if you haven't listened to or read, I should say, Tagore, hold on, guys. That's an amazing, immense poet, in my opinion, that is really worth checking out. Okay, are we ready for the next?
Yep.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to head now to upstate New York. And we're going to visit with Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Hello, my friends. How are you guys? I missed you.
We missed you. Last week was a little rough, but yeah. Thanks for calling back.
Absolutely. Couldn't miss a third week of World Poetry Open Mic.
True. I understand how that is. So, how's your week been?
You know, still have a job. Still healthy.
That's good.
In exactly 2 weeks is my 29th birthday, so I will be able to celebrate my birthday with you guys. And I'm excited about that. I got myself a birthday present. I got myself a wooden watch, and so it just came yesterday, and it's actually really nice.
Oh, good. All right. Well, in 2 weeks, I'll officially say happy birthday. But until then, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you have for us tonight?
Well, you know, usually I do my own work. But tonight, I decided to do a cover. This is from someone that I met on Hello Poetry, the site that I publish all my poetry on. Her name is Pauline Solario, and she is actually listening, and her poem was beautiful, and I decided that it's something that, you know, something positive that we all need to hear, and so this is called I Gaze Upon My Windowpane. I gaze upon my windowpane as the sun utters its goodbyes. Mixed hues of blue, red, and orange grace the stillness of the summer sky. I lived within these walls, 48 days and counting. The light beckons, the heat calls me out from my endless hiding. The longing for the wind and a greeting from my neighbor feels like fire in the harshest of winters. But for now, all I have is my pen, window, and paper. Giving me faith for a brighter tomorrow, for this too shall end. End of peace.
I like that, Zach. Well done.
Yeah,
it's a good cover.
It was really artistic, but it was still, it had a great flow to it, and it was really good. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was really, really well written, and well done yourself, sir. Thank you for the cover.
Thank you.
Will we be hearing from you in the return?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay. Well then, Zach, we'll talk to you then.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much, guys.
No problem. Thank you, Zach.
All right, that was Zach calling number 4 in our first engagement, or our first engagement, our first segment here tonight. Everything feels strange, but a great read. I love that Zach brought a new poet who maybe haven't heard someone else read their own work specifically on a radio show before. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just assuming there, but we love that, and we would invite. And JT, you know what? I was listening in such like delayed time and trying to listen to you in real time. Do you remember the name of the poet he said?
Pauline.
Pauline. Pauline, if you're listening, that was a wonderful piece. Thank you so much. And we really invite you to call in or send in your poetry. We'll happily read it for you, too, if you'd like, if Zach is for some reason feeling like bringing something else instead. All right. Now, here's something I think people don't realize right now, JT.
Yeah.
Is that while we're doing the show, like, we've got a Zoom call, so we can see each other.
Yes.
People don't realize I've got my shirt off. I've been flexing this whole time.
It's incredible.
I've been just trying to show off, just trying to make JT angry, essentially. I've got all kinds of weird things. I'm waving in front of the camera.
It's really strange.
Yeah, I've got a delivery of actual barnyard animals that are coming here soon. So I will have several donkeys and some chickens and some ducks.
It'll be good to see.
It'll be really good, but the sound quality might suffer.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, let's go to our last caller here in this segment. Let's head now to Barbara in a little place I like to call Connecticut.
Hello, Barbara.
It's incredible. I've been just trying to show off.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey. I wasn't sure if you heard me or not.
I did. I had to answer it so it doesn't ring and make that wonderful tone while we're talking, so...
It was very interesting about Michael. I won't say.
Yeah, it is. It's a little odd for Michael to just sit there and flex and then get up and move around and flex some more. And he's just doing it the whole time. It's amazing. While listening to the show. So
with only you as his audience.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I say it's a little odd. But hey, an audience of one is better than an audience of none.
Absolutely. I think it's very cool that he feels so comfortable in front of you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, what do you have for us tonight?
Yeah. Oh, well, I have my poem from the Garden of Poetry and Prose, and I was going to do the one on Facebook, but I can't seem to get that to come up, of course, so I'm going to do the one from my Word. That ever comes up.
Uh-oh.
I know. It's very strange. I have my... Okay, I turn that off. So, whichever one comes up first, that's the one that I will be using. So, the poem was... It was Treasure and Tranquil were the prompts, and it was a Groucho Marx quote, and as soon as I get that, why is that not coming up? Damn.
I totally understand the computer issues.
Okay. It's up, finally.
Okay.
Okay. The Groucho Marx quote is, "The secret of life is honesty and fair dealing." If you can take that. If you can fake that, you've got it made. Let me reread that. The secret of life is honesty and fair dealing. If you can fake that, you've got it made. And that was Groucho Marx. And I wrote, finding the secret to a tranquil life and the key to your treasure. Some people feel life is a performance where you must always dress up and play a part. They saunter through as if on a stage, pretending to be something they aren't, thinking this is the way to a tranquil existence when everything is dedicated to their happiness, no matter the consequence or the feelings of others around them. They do not deal honestly with most people, for that is against what they are trying to do. Honesty plays very little part in their lives as they use and abuse the people with whom they are dealing. And these actors in their own lives never find a tranquil moment, for they are constantly on and perpetually spinning the next lie. As a child, I used to want to be one of the chosen ones. And then I learned that I was way too honest to be one of them. My honesty was jammed into me as a child when, as a young girl, I grabbed a tiny, no bigger than my fingernail at the time, plastic baby doll from Woolworths and put it in my pocket, then showed it proudly to my parents. But they were mortified and ordered me, a barely 7-year-old, to go back confess and give back the treasure I had acquired. Never again would I be placed in that position for not telling the truth or for going against the rules of needing to pay for what I chose. Well, practically never until as an adult for lack of money. So I remained a straightforward, mostly honest, fair-dealing person and found that fame and fortune were never to be mine. Since most of what I needed to do, as I learned much older, was to lie, obfuscate, and misrepresent to get the prize. I said no to lying and not fair dealing and chose honesty. Selling insurance was never going to make me tranquil. And I found my treasure when I learned my words placed on a page made me happy and I could do it honestly. For the more honest I was, the more impact they had on the people who read them. Honesty is what I deal in now. And frankly, it has made me tranquil and happy. And finding others who appreciate that has been my treasure. End poem.
Well said, Barbara. Well said. I like that.
Thank you.
Totally relate to that. Well, except for the little baby miniature thing.
I did
a candy bar.
That was the scariest thing I ever had to do in my life. My parents came with me, but I actually had to speak to the manager and, you know, and give it back. And but when I was older, I did, you know, do a few things. Like,
well, yeah.
We had this place, Caldor's, I think it was Caldor's, or maybe it was another place, but you could easily take the little stickers off and put them on. So if you didn't like the price, you could always change the price. And they never knew it at the register, never, ever.
Huh, okay. So it's kind of sad on them, but that's okay.
I did pilfer a few things from the supermarket, but it was my husband's idea that big places never lost money. You know, they counted that money as lost anyway. So, but then as I got older, I realized that was, you know, not quite for me. But still, I do believe in honesty. I mean, I do believe that, and taught my children so well that I never had to deal with them doing what I did, so it was good.
Good. So are we going to hear from you in the return?
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for coming on tonight. I'm so excited. This was a terrible week for me. I won't even go into it, but just so wonderful. Thank you, and I'll definitely talk to you in the return.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara from Connecticut.
Barbara telling us, detailing her life of crime.
That was, well,
yeah,
I think
after,
this...
After reading something inspired by the quote by Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
There's a quote by Groucho Marx that inspires me, JT.
Yes.
Which is the last night I found an elephant in my pajamas. How he got my pajamas, I'll never know.
Yes. Yes.
That is probably one of the greatest comedic lines of all time. The only one that I think is second to that is, last night I dreamt that I ate a huge marshmallow. When I woke up, my pillow was missing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably the best ever, which is why I will never be a comedian. All right, so everybody, great work from everything I could hear, and I could hear quite a bit of it, actually. So that's probably the strangest segment we've ever had on the show, at least for my position.
And guess what? We're going to do it again.
I know we are. That's a good thing. So we're getting ready for our second segment. We need 5 more callers. So the number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here in the second segment. We got a few things to do. We got a few things to square away, but I got to say something. We got a great caller. One caller in the second segment. That's okay. We got return engagement coming up here too.
Sorry.
But I don't want to say that that's all, because we also have a submission.
That's right.
So it's two really solid female poets. I think this is going to be great. So the first one we're going to read, or that I'm going to read here, is from Susanna Bailey. This one's called Mowing the Lawn. Here we go. It ended, of course. We knew it would. Yet I found myself unready for the tasks ahead. How many sympathy cards buried the lists and the aid memories? The post has dwindled to dull brown bills and periodicals. Still every day, I make another call to unsubscribe from the weight of it all. The days lengthen. Each skill I learn, I lose a little more. I pay the bills. Know the lawn can no longer be ignored. Drag your mower from the garden shed. It glowers at me from the lawn. I should have listened way back when instead I watched a robin maybe relish the scent of fresh cut grass and you, which filled the air. At last, I coax it into life. It roars, and I regret my surge of pride. With care, I skirt with round daisies, buttercups, and dandelions already gone to seed. And that is Mowing the Lawn by Susanna Bailey. Susanna, thank you so much. And there's some really poignant things there. And I think anybody who's lost anyone, but, you know, and I'm lucky so far, I haven't lost a parent. I know, of course we do. We all do. I can picture that in the relationships with people I've had that have passed away. I can only imagine how poignant it is when you actually lose a loved one or a parent and it reminds you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful piece. Thank you for that. All right. And now we're going to head to our caller, who I'm sure she comes at it from a totally different angle, but if anybody could follow something with that power that Susanna dropped down, it's going to be this poet. Let's go now to Cleveland, Ohio, to visit with Mama Oladeji.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hang on a moment. Oh, my goodness. JT forgot to plug in something. Hang on. My apologies to everybody. Mama, I've got you now.
Okay, what I was saying is hello. I see you all have, you know, real brilliant scientists. You're really making use of that duct tape.
Oh, and how? Oh.
Well, I'm so happy. I couldn't have gone another week without you guys, seriously. So this is a real treat. And I can hear you're really good. And actually, JT, you don't sound that much different from Michael. So it's like, you know, our minds are not playing tricks on us. We kind of think it's him.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's kind of odd when I start talking on the microphone, everybody goes, Michael? I'm like, no, it's JT.
Right. I know.
Trust me.
It's kind of like you all are like, when I first came, I was so confused because you all sounded so much alike.
Oh, yeah.
And like now that, and now my mind is good because it's like, it's tricked perfectly. So I'm not even messed up or nothing. I'm just like, I'm just normal. I'm just like, I'm dealing with Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of the foolishness. He told us to be silly on the speed that he sipped in the air. So I was trying to be silly. I'm like, here we go.
Okay.
I got a piece. My piece is not that silly, but it's amazing because I think I'm really a special person, not because I'm just saying that. It's because this is the second poem I wrote before the virus in like 2017 or something that speaks about the virus, like I'm psychic or something. The name of the piece is called Stifled. There are secrets to be uncovered in the rainforest. There's something mushrooming from under a medicine tree. What goes on in the woods and in the jungles while we hustle and bustle, pacing the pavement like ants, never to become one with the mighty trees. The buzzsaw and the blades are working to create another beautiful mall. I am stifled, can't breathe. These earthly home wreckers are earth disturbers. My environment is clinging on, holding on for dear life. Rats share space with me. Viruses fill the air on subways. Yet right here on this small planet, I once could tap tonic from trees. But now the earth is choking. She is crying. I cannot breathe. So many secrets to be uncovered in the rainforest. Something is mushrooming from a medicine tree. Something that could cure us. Yet I'm forbidden to reveal. I'm afraid that I may never get to feel the cleansing of a forest breeze. I chant to feel that which has left my womb and disappeared. Summon the spirit of the unknown secrets. I may summon the spirit of unknown secrets to come and enter my energy field and take me to a place where I may see streams of pure water and hear the callings of ancient voices, and I can play in red clay, molding clay pots and weaving fabrics on my loom. There are secrets that could mend us. There are secrets that could heal us with the knowledge of the leaves and the roots and the red dirt and the water. We can know all things that lie in the thick, seeming lakes instead of cesspools. We have tonic water and mushroom juice. We never had a chance on these cemented grounds, pacing back and forth like ants, killing habitats and creating havoc. Can you plant a small tree in Manhattan for me? Can you plant a small tree in Manhattan for me, for her, for them? They put us here, and now they leave. Wealthy folks head for the hills and mountains. They bathe in natural fountains. Now it's them that are draped in gold and amber. They put a damper on our habitat, plundered all the earth, replaced the grass with turf. While my bare feet know not the grass nor soil, scent and debris arise from the pavement and the heat, the boiling heat, blocking the charge that would release this negative energy from my feet. In peace.
Wow, Mama. That's a great piece.
Yeah. Mm. I was lucky to find it, and I just can't believe I was writing this stuff before. Like I could see what was coming. But maybe it had already started, and I was just the only one that picked up on it.
Yeah, I was. Mm. Wow. Good music piece behind that too. I like that.
I tried to find something that sounded like the rainforest. And that was 8 hours of rainforest lullabies for a baby to go to sleep.
Condensed into... No, I'm kidding. That's a good piece. I like it. I like it.
Thank you. Oh.
Will we hear from you in the return?
Of course.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, Mama. We'll talk to you in a bit, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, and that was Mama Oladeji, our caller here in the second segment. It's funny, you know, I'm listening to myself here as I hear. You know what I sound like? Anybody who's ever watched The Trip to Spain or The Trip to Italy will know what I'm talking about. I sound like a man in a box.
I'm a man in the box.
I am a man in the box. Yeah, okay. If you don't know that movie, that's probably the dumbest joke ever. All right, so you know what it's time for? It's time for...
The Return Engagement!
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 That's right, the Return Engagement. It is time... For everyone who wants to read another piece, whether you've called before or not, tonight, to give us a call. It's going to be a longer form thing, we think. Be prepared to call back if you need to. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here. Time for the return engagement. We've got six great callers lined up here, and we're excited to get into it. JT,
yes,
this
sir.
Show's been really strange. How's it been over on your end?
Strange. It's weird. It's different. Things have been shuffled around, so I'm not in my normal flow, it feels like.
Yeah, understandably.
You know, when you get into a rhythm of placements, like, I guess it could kind of be to akin of messing up with a drummer's drum kit.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, you don't know where the things are. Your body is not set up for the changes.
Yeah.
I absolutely understand. And it's just the same as sitting down, like, the few times I ran your studio and you weren't there.
Yeah.
It's like, this is totally not mapped out for me. I don't know where things are. You know, and it's
a flow.
But I want to say the poets who've called in tonight have really brought it so far. They've done a great job, and we really sincerely appreciate you hanging out with us, sticking with us, including last week and also this week. And, you know, we're consistently in process of getting this worked out. We will definitely be in touch with customer service to figure out what some of these things. We're going to, quote, unquote, Karen all over them. This next week, we're going to figure out what's going on because they owe us an explanation.
Yeah.
That being said, let's get going with this. Now, I saw a message, all hail the victors, and apparently the victors are from Michigan, which is one of the few times that has ever actually been uttered in the annals of history. Seeing that I don't have to deal with these conversations. All right, let's go now to our number one caller in the segment. This is Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello. I'm back.
Wonderful to have you back.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to read another cover. Right now, this cover is, the title is Halley's Comet, and it was written by U.S. Poet Laureate Stanley Kunitz. Halley's Comet. Miss Murphy in first grade wrote its name in chalk across the board and told us it was roaring down the storm tracks of the Milky Way at a frightful speed. And if it wandered off its course and smashed into the earth, there'd be no school tomorrow. A red-bearded preacher from the hills with a wild look in his eyes stood in the public square at the playground's edge, proclaiming he was sent by God to save every one of us, even the little children. Repent, ye sinners, he shouted, waving his hand-lettered sign. At supper, I felt sad to think that it was probably the last meal I'd share with my mother and my sisters. But I felt excited, too, and scarcely touched my plate. So Mother scolded me and sent me early to my room. The whole family asleep, except for me. They never heard me steal into the stairwell hall and climb the ladder to the fresh night air. Look for me, Father, on the roof of the red brick building at the foot of Green Street. That's where we live, you know, on the top floor. I'm the boy in the white flannel gown sprawled on the coarse gravel bed, searching the starry sky, waiting for the world to end. End of poem. A poem by the former poet laureate Stanley Kunitz.
I like that piece, Dennis. Thank you for reading that. It's a good piece.
Oh, that's a good one. I enjoyed finding that and sharing it.
When was it written? Do you know?
I don't have a date on it, but I'll do my homework and I'll find out for you.
No worries. Thank you, though.
Yes, thank you. And I'll step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic and say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. All right. And that was Dennis from Michigan.
I'm from Michigan. All hail the victors. All right. Staying in Michigan, because victory is complete. They're stodging themselves with victory.
Ooh, stodging.
See that? You see that? You see that callback?
Well done for... That was for good. Yeah.
Woo! That's good. From Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton. Now let's go stay in Michigan, and let's go to George.
Hello, George.
Hello, hello. I'm here again. My system lasted through a whole show. That's. Oops, I got to turn this. There we go. I've hung in there tonight electronically. I don't know about mentally, but electronically I have.
That's always and, good.
That's always good. This one's also about the virus. This is something I tried to do a little like video thing last week. It's called Soli Mori, They Die Alone. It is subtraction without addition, a lose-lose proposition. Under the plague, they bear the weight of infirmity and age, Soli Mori. The family is turned away, all hopes crumbling. From the worst of ironies, just when they want to say goodbye, they cannot. Else they might transfer their death to others. The outgoing death toll adds up in tears, and the cars buzz past the nursing home, splashing rain on the sign. They reminisce of times long gone. We tune our lives within our song, our stories hardly ring a bell to youthful minds. It's hard to sell. So on we mutter without a voice. Our sorrow is summed up on a card left in the lobby. Too meek to spark a meager choice. The dignity of age is gone, and in its place, just soli mori. End of peace.
Good piece, George.
Well, thank you. I tried to make it into a little video thing, and yeah, keep trying.
All right. I have confidence in you.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you. And I will slide over and let poet number three come up.
All right, George. Well, thank you for calling in both times. I'm glad you got to. And we'll talk to you again later, okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right. All right.
All right. And that was George calling from Michigan, the number two spot here in the return engagement. You know, the video of that poem that he put out last week, I thought was really impactful. It was just him reading it, but you know, we love hearing him read here, but I think the visual element really helped too. Mm. If I remember correctly, he wore a mask through the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty powerful. Yeah.
Okay.
If anybody's friends with him on Facebook or a member of the George Wiley Writes group, then I'm sure he posted it in there. So if you're looking for it. All right. We ready for the next caller, sir?
We sure are.
All right. We're going to head now to a different state because there's other states in the union. Let's go to Alabama and visit with Stan.
Hello, Stan.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Wow. George. Dennis. Woof.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you. Oh, man. They are bringing it tonight.
Yeah, they are. Mm. But you're not too bad yourself, sir. So, you know, I think you got this.
Yeah. I have my moments, few and far between as they may be.
So what do you have
for
us?
I'm going to bring another one, which is actually from the same quote of Groucho Marx from the Garden, our own Jerry Langdon gave us, and Barbara did, and what I came up with was a piece called The Five. Oh, sweet, the balm of political correctness, the performance of chosen words tranquil, sugar-coated language of politeness, so truth not such a bitter pill. We monitor our speech and choice of phrase without offense found in any perceived measure, so adamant in navigating the verbal maze, true expression nearly deeply buried treasure. Now, if with integrity you express your perspectives, political correctness will dub you as being hateful. I guess in their view, you should choose words deceptive than actually free in your speech and truthful. And peace.
Well said, Stan. Well said.
Well, I've reached the point where political correctness to me is just an ongoing pain in my butt.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It just is. It's just, it was a marvelous concept at the start, but it's mutated into something quite different, and I really have no tolerance for it any longer. I just don't. I don't. You know, if we can't honestly communicate with each other as who we are and what we believe and where we stand, we're lost.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
And since I know there are some other poets and some other marvelous perspectives and viewpoints out there, I would like to thank you, gentlemen, for this venue. I have enjoyed it for these years that I've been with you. And on to the next.
All right, Stan. Well, thank you, and you are welcome. But thank you for calling in, and we will talk to you later.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Good
thank
evening.
You.
All right, and that was Stan calling from Alabama, doing a fantastic job as always, as he always does. He's always so solid on it. All right. So we've had two callers from Michigan, one from Alabama. It's time for us to take one from Connecticut. Are we waiting for her to call, or are we ready to go, sir?
We're waiting for her to call.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So, don't worry.
You know, I love the variety of the show that's on such a regular basis here. One thing I wanted to ask about, just if we're hearing it now, and I'll totally cut this off if she calls in.
She's here.
She's in?
Yep.
Okay. Let's take her live. This is Barbara calling from Connecticut.
All right. Hello, Barbara.
Hey. Hey, how are you, Michael?
He's good. He's going to be on a long delay to
hear
you.
Oh, this is JT.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure who I'm talking. You sound a lot like Michael.
I know. That's what I hear a lot.
So this poem I wrote, I was going to read last week, but I couldn't. And so I'm going to read it tonight, and it has a painting. Well, actually, it has a graphic that goes with it, and if you go to, I don't know if you'll let me put the link on, but it's barathvision.info, BHARATH.
You'll be able to post the link. Yeah.
All right, I'll put it on, because it's about this person who's in the graphic, and the title of the graphic is Brave Winds, and the poem is called Brave Winds, and the graphic is done by someone named Tony Wong. She calls herself, but professionally she has another name. Her name is Tony Lee Turner Wong. So anyway, she and I collaborated on this. I used her graphic and wrote this poem, Brave Winds. You can see by the glint of her eyes, she has crawled upon the jagged peaks of life's mountains and has survived. The downward turn of her full lips conveys her disdain toward all she sees. She has mastered the art of being among and yet aloof from her fellow travelers, skirting the edge of society, never getting in too deep, since she learned her lesson when her cheeks still had the feel of soft downy baby skin. Gritty and senseless and full of angry nights spent crouching in horror in dank fetid sheets with too many faceless men who used her like a tissue and then left her there to find her way back to sanity. She had survived and now appears as this gaunt, haughty, closed-off diva who never makes eye contact for fear you might see the truth in her, a lonely figure who keeps to herself. She is a battle-torn survivor of the war of her life. End poem.
I like that, Barbara. It was a good piece.
Thank you. I then, you know, we switched back. So she did a graphic for one of the poems in my book, but you have to see the piece, because that piece of art, mm-hmm. just, it got to me. It really did. And I got this amazing comment from somebody who's like in the Indian government Board of Education, and it just like blew my mind that you know, someone would feel that way about it. But it was a very strong piece of art and required me to dig deep, and I like that. I like to dig deep. And I just want to say this was an awful week for me. Anybody who knows me knows that my husband died 6 years ago, yeah. And this was going to be his birthday, May 19th. So usually, like, we go out, you know, we go out, we do things, but I had to stay home and tutor, and it was just having to stay home and be home and be among the, you know, stuff, memories and all during that day was very hard for me. So, like, I had, like, a couple of really bad days, but I have to say today was a great day. So, and the thought of coming on World Poetry Open Mic really, you know, got me excited. So,
good.
I just want to also say I've been in touch with Cynthia, and she's sorry that she hasn't been on the program, but she is, she had, you know, a lot of different problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so she's hoping to get back on because she's getting together. I don't know if you know this, the Zoom thing for her friend.
Yeah.
They're doing an actual Zoom book, like, you know, a book thing to introduce a book. So
yeah.
A book opening. So they're doing a Zoom book opening. And they're doing it on Facebook. I don't know if you got an invitation, but I think it's really worthwhile to see her friend Jude. I think something, Jude something. I forgot the last name. But it's really, anyway, that's the 27th, I think, if anybody's interested. Contact Cynthia.
Okay.
And she'll give you a link. Anyway,
I'm sure we can work out the postings on that, and she can
That's,
share it on
I'm going
to
put the So thank you very much, JT and Michael. Michael, who's lost?
He's not lost. He's just right over there.
Tell Michael that I think what I think he sounds like is like if you went to the movies when you were younger. I don't know if you saw those documentaries where they gave the current events of
happening. Yes, he does. He does sound like those little news things, newsreels before the movie.
A newsreel, yes.
Yes.
He said, just look a newsreel. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to get off and let other people come on and have a great week, JT and Michael.
Will do. You too, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
That was Barbara calling from Connecticut. All right, now let's get ready to head to upstate New York. Are we about ready?
We're here.
All right, wonderful. Let's go to Zach in the return engagement here.
Hello, Zach.
Hello, my friends. Coming from upstate New York, how are you guys? I know it's only been about 20 minutes, but how are you guys?
We're still good. We're still good.
Well, good. You know, I think I'll just get right into it. You know, a lot of poems tonight have been about COVID and, you know, COVID-related. So, you know, it's since we aren't going to be able to, since Memorial Day is coming up, you know, I thought I'd share a piece that I wrote about Memorial Day. It's all obviously called Memorial Day. I'm pretty sure I've shared it before, but... I think it's a really good piece to share. So,
sounds good. All right.
Today, I stand beside you to honor those we love, the ones who made it home, the ones still fighting, and the ones called to guide us from above. Today, when they sing the national anthem, don't be surprised if you see me cry. It represents everything that makes me proud to be Semper Fi. Today, it doesn't matter where you come from. If you're here, you're American at the core. Today, we celebrate everything we're fighting for. Today, we'll visit our parents, daughters, and sons and tell them their war is over. You can finally rest in peace. It's okay. Lay down your guns. Whether you're a soldier, SEAL, or Marine, thank you for shielding us from all the things you see that should never be seen. End of piece.
I really do like that piece, Zach, Michael. Sorry, it's because I've been, you know, I can see him. But no, I really do like that piece. I remember that from last year. It's still really touching, really moving. So.
Thanks. Yeah, my dad's a Marine, and you know, my friend is in the Navy, and I have another friend who's in the Marines, and we don't show as much as the appreciation as we'd all like to, and I think what does it mean to us, and I think that's really what I tried to talk about in this piece, because I never understood what Memorial Day was or what it meant to me, but then I thought from my dad's perspective, from my dad's friends who were in the Navy and the Marines and everything, like, what does it mean to them? And
yep.
So that was my piece, Memorial Day.
It was a good piece. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Guys. Thank you, Zach.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep, bye.
All right, and that was Zach Kahn from upstate New York. That was a really cool piece, and we wish him absolutely an early happy birthday. I saw the picture of the watch that he got himself. It's a beautiful, beautiful wooden watch. All right, now we're going to head last but not least in the return engagement. We're going to go back to Cleveland, right. Ohio.
Thanks,
and we're going to go to Mama Oladeji.
Hey, Mama.
That was really a cool piece. And
yep, I'm here.
All right.
Let me turn my stuff down.
Not a problem.
No. Okay. I got a short piece here. It's called Your Money or Your Life.
Ooh. Okay.
Your Money or Your Life. As I fret, opening too soon is filled with rock, causing more worries as I thought. As people scurry hither and thither, seeking to score and scurry back home. Still, no alcohol, spray, or wipe. Yet, go spend your money and risk your life, facing more issues than toilet tissue. Am I to be tested, even though I'm clean? Or is this a trick to strategize vaccines? Now this man or leader, once a germophobic, suddenly he's not afraid to go unmasked. What's really happening is the question asked. And peace.
I like that piece, Mama. That's a good piece.
Thank you.
I ask that all the time. Anyway. No, it was a good piece. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
I like that piece, Mama. Good piece.
All right. And that was all Mama. Right.
Was that Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out the return engagement? It's been a short night. It's also been a strange night, but I got to tell you, that's not because of the work of the poets. It's not because of the community that you brought to the chat room. And thank you for sticking with us as we go through all of these things, because honestly, if I was in the same room, the way we've done the show for many years, this issue would never have happened. Right? Not because I would have fixed it, but because we wouldn't have needed me to hear it. Right?
Yeah.
So this is just technical thing upon technical thing. We're working it out. And like I said, we appreciate you sticking with us. JT, I appreciate you working through it, making all this stuff happen. Now, we will be back next week, and it'll be kind of closing the month out before we get ready to head into a whole new month of this. And we'll be in the summertime. And it already feels kind of like we are now, but we'll be in the full June summertime after next week. So we hope you'll enjoy us. We'll hope you'll join us and enjoy us as well. We also hope that maybe you'll consider bringing somebody else. We'll have the stuff fixed. Don't worry about that. We've got that handled. And we're really looking forward to spending more time with you and hearing the work that you're putting together at this time. All right. So from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Hemingway, the studio bee dog, from JT and myself. Thank you so much. We love you. And until next time, keep on writing. Good night.